So today's daf is Lamed Gimel. We'll start a little before I try to do on the sheet a little bit of review of what we're up to, because otherwise it's hard to start sort of in the middle. Tufuot Shlema for the week. David Avram ben Miriam Devorah bat Dina, is Avram Shimon ben Chana, or the Pnina bat Rachel Frida Chaya, Malka Esther bat Zipporah, Ya'amir bat Chaya, David ben Golda, Michal Yishev Devorah bat Kadima, Yaakov ben Rosa, Daphna Chaya bat Sarah, Taya Rachel bat Tamar Sarah, Liloy Nishbar Chana bat Datara, Reza bat Sarah, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yaakov, Alevi Umela, and Yosef ben Tzvi Hakon. Okay, so yesterday there was a statement of Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina. Okay, you can look at the sheet. We'll start from here instead of starting inside. He made a statement on something, and the whole question is, what exactly was his statement a comment to? And he said that in whatever case this is, you're chayav arba'a dvarim, right, meaning that you're not chayav in boshet, seemingly, and you're patur from galut. Okay, or the truth is, we've seen chayav arba'a dvarim sometimes means including boshet, and it just means in addition to nezek. But here it probably means nezek, tzar, shevet, ripoy, and probably not boshet. And you're patur, because remember, boshet, you need to have kavanah. And in this case, you're going to be patur migalut. We'll see why. Okay, patur migalut, we've seen already, could mean one of two things. Either it's shogeg karav lemezid, and you're not allowed to go to galut, or it's shogeg karav laonus, and you don't even need to go to ir miklat. And why you patur migalut in whatever case this is? And they say, because it's not domeh liyar. Remember, the psukim in Ir Mikla talk about kimatsa, I forget the exact words, let's see. It doesn't quote it here. Okay, but when you happen upon someone in the yar, you go into the forest. Now, what's unique about a yar? Zele rishuto nichnas, vezele rishuto nichnas. Everybody's allowed to be there. It's a public space. You're allowed to be there chopping your tree. The other guy's allowed to be there walking. That's your classic case of your mikvah. In this case, it's different because somebody went into his friend's area. So the first assumption was that this is referring to the beginning of this braita that they quoted. Okay, look at the chart on the page. Hanichnas lechanuto shel nagar. Okay, and now there was a resha and a seifa. So the first assumption is it was about the seifa. So I'm going to skip right away to the seifa. You walk into the store of a carpenter. Ve'im nichnas bereshut, if you ask him for permission to go in, and then he accidentally kills you, then you're chayav. So now the question is... The chenvani, the store owner, accidentally, while he's working in his nagaria, he accidentally kills the guy who was allowed to come into his store. So then we're going to say chayav. What are you chayav? You're chayav nezek. According as if Rabbi Yosef Hanin is commenting on this, what's he saying? You're chayav nezek. You're patur from galut. Why are you patur from galut in this case? Well, it was karav lemezid. So you're not allowed to go to galut. Okay, patur means you can't go to galut. Okay, it doesn't protect you. It doesn't give you the kapara that you need, and it won't protect you from the relatives.
Galut specifically means your miklat?
Yeah, galut always means your miklat in all these cases that we're talking about. So now, then they had a bit of a question. They brought, I'm not going to get into the details, but they said, isn't Shagel Kerev Lemezi is Chayav? And they brought his case, and then they explained, no, the case wasn't classic case. Okay. Then the second option was to say, no, it wasn't talking about that part. It was talking about the beginning part of that source, which said, Hanichnas lechanuto shel nagar shelo birishut. The guy comes in shelo birishut, and then you accidentally kill him. Then what does it say? Patur. So now what are we going to assume patur means? Well, the patur is referring to the galut. When Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina comes and says, well, while it's true that you're patur from galut, but you're chayav ba'arba advarim, okay, right? In the Sefer it said chayav. So the first reading was chayav meant you're chayav ba'arba advarim, but you'd be patur from galut. And now we're taking the word patur and saying, patur means patur from galut. And then Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina say, but you would be chayav in damages. Now, why are you patur migalut in this case? Because this case, when he came in without permission, that's shogeg karav laonis. Now, by the way, both of these cases are not domeh liyar, because each one, right, so the line of it's not domeh liyar could be the same either which way, because one guy didn't have permission to come in. Even if you gave him permission, it's still, we're going to say it's somewhat different. Now, if you say it on this, then they had another problem, because they said... So the first thing they said was, if you say it on the resha part, like we just did, then you would agree also, I'm sorry, one second, then you wouldn't agree You wouldn't think that the same would be true on the last case. In other words, it would be dafka if he went in shelo birishut, you'd be patur from galut. But if he came birishut, you'd be chayav b'galut. But if you read it the first way we read it, which is that if you go birishut, then you're chayav nezek and patur me'arba advarim, then obviously if you go with permit, that's if you go birishut, then obviously if you go without permission, then for sure you're going to be patur from galut. Okay, that's the way they read it. So now they questioned, the last thing was that they questioned, there's another source, okay, if you look now at the chart on the koshi section, on the middle one, Avamokom Acher, it says that im birishut nichnas, you'd be patur. Okay, patur, הנכנס לחנותו של נפח, וניצן ניצוצו וטיפחה לו הפניו ומת, פטור, ואפילו נכנס ברשות. Now, I just said a minute ago that what? That if you say it on the case where he comes shelo berishut, then for sure if he comes berishut, that not for sure, then if he comes berishut, you'd be chayav. And here it says, if you went into the chanut berishut, you'd be patur. So that seems to be a contradiction. So what are they answering? No, the source there where it says, even nechnas berishut, it was a unique case, which they answered, what was the case? It was the apprentice of the nagar, whoever should to be there, but the guy who was doing the carpentry, the owner, asked him to leave. It's called Mr. Hevbo, let's say, Beino Yotze, just like we saw with the Evit Knani the other day. The Evit Ivri, who wanted to stay longer after the Yovel. And he thought that he left. And why did he think he left? Because it's the same argument we used there, that he was afraid of his master. In that case, we said he was no longer afraid of his master because he was free at that point. But he was afraid of his master, and therefore he assumed if he told him, you better leave, he assumed that he must have left. And therefore, he didn't need to check because he assumes if Ema To'alav, then it would work. Okay, that's where the Gemara ended. We're now going to start at Lama Gimel Amud Aleph. Third interpretation. So we're basically going to bring the third interpretation and then say the same thing. Well, if you say it here, what would you say in the other case? And if you said it there, what would you say in this case? Now we're going to say, instead of, is it talking about the ratio of that one, is it talking about the seifa of that one, now it has nothing to do with this source. The third opinion is that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina said his statement about a different case entirely. Rav Zvi Mishmei de Rava Matne Laha, he teaches it on this case. Umatza, that was the pasuk, right, where you find someone in the yar. Prat lemam tziat atzmo. That excludes, to find someone means you find someone who is there. Think of a hide and seek, right? They're there, you just can't see them. So to find someone means to find someone who's there, as opposed to someone who all of a sudden makes himself there, meaning he wasn't there at the time, you did your act, and then he all of a sudden appears there. So what could be the case? Mikan Amar Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, mi sheyatzta eben mitachat yado, he throws a rock, v'hotzi hala et rosho, and all of a sudden the guy sticks his head out his window of his house, into the Rashid Arabim, and the rock hits him in the head. Now, you had no way of knowing that this guy was going to stick his head right out of the window. Vikibla, and it hits him. Patur. Okay, so now, and this Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says, I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, what do we mean by patur here? Patur mi galut, v'chayav ba'arba'a dvarim. What does it mean? Yes, you're patur from galut, but, what did we say? Adam mu'ad la'olam. You're going to be chayav damages in this case. Okay? Now, I have to question a little bit. Why would you be chayav arba'a dvarim? Because remember we learned that if it's shogeg, then you're not chayav. You're only chayav nezek, and you're not chayav all the other things. So it's a bit of a question here. I only thought of the question right now, so I didn't look up an answer. It's a good question why that would be. But maybe that's a question on this reading. So now, what are they going to say? Man dimatne la'aha kol shekena kamaita. If you're going to say in this case, you're patur migalut, but you're chayav in nezek, then obviously in all the other cases, which are more, less onus than this case, or even more karov lemezid, you're obviously going to say that you're chayav v'arba advarim. Okay? Now, uman dimatne la kamaita, but those who say it on the other cases, avalaha patur legamre, they might say that in this case, you're totally patur, okay? Because in this case, what would you say? You're not even chayav in damages because you didn't even know he was there. So maybe this is like the case, it's similar to what? The one where the guy goes to sleep, and after he goes to sleep, I quote it from the Yerushalmi, after he goes to sleep, somebody lies down, you know, it could be somebody put a vase down next to him and he breaks it, or someone gets into bed next to him and he knocks him over and hurts him. So that's a case where the guy had no knowing that it was there. It's the same thing here. He throws a rock, no one was even there, and then all of a sudden the guy comes out of his window. So it could be that if you didn't say that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina said it on this case, you might say that he's patur lagamre from Nezek. Okay, new case now. Tana Rabbanan. Pa'alim shabau litbos chacham mibala bayit. Here's a good case. You go to get paid for a job you did. So now where are you going to go get paid? You're going to go to the guy's house to collect your money. So what happens when you go to the guy's house? You can imagine. Nigachan sharo shabala bayit. Unishachan kalbo shabala bayit. Okay, the dog's not so happy that you showed up. He starts barking at you and bites you. Or you get attacked by his shur. Okay, the dog case might be a little more relevant nowadays. And then you die. Patur. Okay, according to Tana Krama, the balabayit is patur. Achirim amrim, because what happened? You went shalob rishut, right? Achirim amrim, rishaim poalim litbos haram mi balabayit. The poalim have permission to go to the guy's house to get their money, which means that if something happens to them when they go to the house, it was berishut, and he's going to be chayav. He's going to be chayav. So now they say, hechidami, what's the case exactly? Ida shachiach b'mata, right? Hechidami is always going to be somewhat of a rhetorical question. If it's this, it doesn't make sense. And if you say that, it doesn't make any sense. Ida shachiach b'mata, if the balabayit walks around the city a lot, well, then they had no right to go into his house. Either opinion. My time of the acherim. In other words, the second option saying they can go into his house. Who gave them permission to go into his house? They can find him on the street. Ida shachiach b'bayit, and if he's a guy who normally stays at home, then my time at the Tanakama, right? Then Tanakama shouldn't say, if they have no other way to get their money other than to go to this guy's house and he owes them money, well, then of course they have rights to go to his house. So what do they answer? It's obvious here they didn't have such things as doorbells, you know, on the outside of their property, right? The guy obviously has to go into the property before he gets to the door of the guy's house to knock on the door and ask permission to come in. And that's presumably where his shore, his kelev are hanging out. Just like in the cases yesterday where it's like this and like this, and it's like not here nor there exactly. It's a guy who's sometimes at home and sometimes in the house, okay, and as you can't always find him in the street, and he knocked at the door, now you get the knocking at the door, and he said to him, yes. Now, as we've seen many times, what does yes mean? Right? Yes could mean yes, I'm coming to the door and I'll let you in. Or it could, right, it could be also he was maybe outside his chatzer and called to him, right, from the distance. Or yes could mean yes, come in. So Mar Sabar, so Tanakama says in means ol. Ol tamashma. Come in, right? Come in, it means. So therefore, if he comes in, then he was allowed to come in, and therefore I wrote it wrong on the chart. This matches Acherim, okay? So you just have to flip it. So this matches Acherim, Shita, because if all means come in, well, then the responsibility is on the balabayit. Umar Savar, in kum aduchtecha mashma. In means stand in your place and wait and I'll come to you. Meaning, you should have no rights coming onto my property. Tanya Kamanda Amar, in kum aduchte mashma. Okay, there's a braita that supports the opinion that in means stand and wait for me. Titania, Poel Shenichnas Litbos Charomi Balabayit, Unagho Shorosha Balabayit, Onashcho Kabo Patur. Afapishenichnas Birishut. Okay, so now here we have a braita. It says, now it doesn't say anything about this knocking on the door, but they're going to assume it must be that he was knocking at the door. What's the case? A Paul comes in to get his money from the Balabayit, and the shur attacks him, or the Kelev bites him, he's Patur. Even though Nichnas Birishut. So now they say, am I patur? Why should he be patur if the guy came birishut? So Ella, it must be, lav dekari abava ba'amar le'in, ushma mina, in kuma duchtecha mashma. It can't possibly be that he really came birishut, because if he came birishut, the balabayit would for sure be responsible. So they say it must be this in-between case where he came birishut, meaning that the guy said, wait a minute, I'm coming. And then he didn't come, you know, and then the guy came in anyway. And then it would already turn into lo bereshut and he would be chayav. And then the balabayit would be patur. So they're basically saying that this source that says nichnas bereshut patur doesn't make any sense. So it must be that that it was this weird case where he said in, and then we interpret it that in must be wait for me. Okay. New Mishnah. We're going to jump to a few Mishnayot today. Shnei Shvarim Tamim. Okay, we're now, unfortunately, we're finished with this really interesting sugya of Adamu Adla Olam. We're now back to animals goring each other. Tam, Muad, all different things. We're going to get into some money issues, like how do we calculate everything, and we're going to see some different opinions also. Okay, so now we're at the third chart on the page, if you want to follow in the chart. Okay, so we have Shnei Shvarim Tamim Shechavlu Ze Et Ze. What if you have two animals attacking each other at the same time? Okay, so one causes damage to the other, while that one causes damage to him. So now we have damage caused to two at the same time and by each other. So now how are you going to calculate who pays who damages? So if they're both tam, mishalmim b'motar chatzi nezek. You calculate how much damage was done to the first, how much damage was done to the second. Let's say one damage 100 shekels worth and one damage 80 shekels worth. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, the one who damaged 100 shekels has to pay the other 20, but now because they're both short time, or because the one who damaged is a short time, we're going to cut it in half and say you're only chayav 10. You follow? So if one damages 100, one damages 80, the one who damaged 100 pays 10 to the one who damaged to the other one. Okay. Shnehem muadim. Let's say they're both shor muad. Mishalmim b'motar nezek shalem. So now, let's say one was 100 and one was 80. He's going to pay 20 full damages. That was easy. Echad tam v'echad muad. Let's say you have a tam and a muad. Now it's going to get a drop more complicated. Muad b'tam. Okay. If the muad damaged more than the tam, mishalem b'motar nezek shalem. So now he pays, okay, so let's say, let's take an example. This is a drop more complicated. Let's say the mazik, okay, was a tam. The one who damaged more was a muad, and he damaged 100's worth. And the tam damaged 80's worth. Okay, so now what are you going to do? You're going to take the difference of the damages, right, and he pays 20, okay? Possibly. Another possible way of reading this is, how much did the tam really damage, though? He damaged 80, but he's supposed to pay 40. So maybe he pays 60. Okay? So there's a difference of opinion about how to figure this out. Okay. Next case. Tam b'muad. What if it's the short tam who damaged more? So mishalem b'motar chatzi nezek. So then, let's say, now the tam damaged 100, and the muad damaged 50. Okay? So now, if you say the first way we read it, right, then you come up with the difference, or what did I say? I said 80. So let's say the muad damaged 80. So now you figure out 20 difference, and the tam pays 10. Okay? Alternatively, the tam, maybe he really damaged, right, if he damaged 10. What?
10.
What's the difference? 20, and he pays half. The tom pays half, so it's going to be 10.
Take half of 100, and then...
So now, if you... That's one way of reading it. If you say that you take the half of the 100, and he damaged 100, but he only pays 50, well, in that case, the muad's going to have to pay. So the only case that this would be relevant would be, let's say the tom damaged, let's say, 200, okay? And then you take half of that, you get to 100, and then he pays the difference, and that's going to be 20. Okay? So there's two different ways of reading how this Mishnah works. Okay, I hope I did all that right and that I explained it 100%. Okay, v'chein shnei anashim shechavlu ze bazeh. Now we get to two people. Okay, that's the last chart on the first side. Okay, two people chavlu ze bazeh mishalmim b'motar nezek shalem. Okay, so obviously they're going to have to pay full damages for what the difference is. Adam b'muad, muad b'adam. But what if you get, right, obviously that case didn't really need to be said, but they were setting it up for the next case, which is what if you have a person and a shor muad who damaged each other? Adam muad muad b'adam, mishalem b'motar nezek shalem. Okay, so now whoever damaged more is going to pay the difference, nezek shalem. Adam b'tam, b'tam b'adam, or, okay, so if it's an adam and a tam, or a tam ba'adam. So if it's adam b'tam and he paid more, that he did more damage than that shor did, mishalem b'motar nezek shalem. So again, he pays the difference. And tam ba'adam, mishalem b'motar chatzi nezek. And if it's a tam to a person, again, he's going to pay chatzi nezek. Rabbi Akiva Omer, now here's an interesting shita. Af tam shechaval ba'adam, mishalem b'motar nezek shalem. when it comes to short time and a person, the short time is going to pay full damages, okay? And not chatzi nezek. So now we're going to get into, on the second side of the sheet also, you'll see the reason behind this, okay? Before we start the Gemara, I just want to read the psukim. Okay, the psukim in Shmo Perakaf Aleph, Pasuk Kafchet. So Pasuk Kafchet is a short time that kills a person. Ki gach shor et isho et ishava meitz, ako yisakel ashor v'leichel apasaro, v'ala shor naki. The next Pasuk Kafchet is a shor mu'ad that kills a person. V'im shor nagachu mitmol shol shom v'u'ab v'ala v'la yishmarenu v'imit e isho isha, etc. Pasuk Lamed, im kofer yushat alav. So first we have the short time killing a person, and then the shor mu'ad killing a person. Im kofer yushat alav, v'natam pidyon afshok kol she yushat alav. Okay, and now Lamed Aleph. O ben yigach o bat yigach, if it's a person, right, whether a male or female, kamishpat hazeh ye aselo. Now we're going to darshan this pasuk. What does it mean? Kamishpat hazeh ye aselo. Okay, so now we're going to have two ways of reading that pasuk. Tana Rabbanan. Kimishpat hazeh ye aselo. So the first reading is, kimishpat shor b'shor, kach mishpat shor ba'adam. Now by the way, the next pasukim, a little bit after, a few psukim later, start talking about a shor that attacks and causes damage, okay, to another animal. Okay? So now they're going to say, just like, and as kimishpat hazeh yaselo means, this is going to be just like something else. What are they saying? Just like a shor b'shor, kach mishpat shor ba'adam. Ma shor b'shor, tam shalem chatzi nezek u'muad nezek shalem. Offshore ba'adam tam shalem chatzi nezek u'muad nezek shalem, and that matches Tana Kama's opinion that we're going to be it's going to be the same shor tam shor muad when it comes to damages to a human being are exactly the same, and they learn it from this pasuk kimishpat hazeh yaseh lo, that it's going to be just like the other cases of shor which come later. Rabbi Akiva Omer kimishpat hazeh kitachtom velo ke'elyon. What does he say? He says no, kimishpat hazeh is coming to refer to the earlier pasuk. That the short time that killed a person, and they're saying, that the law, right, the tam and muad are this, right, that's right, exactly what he's saying. The tam and muad are the same, the tam is going to be just like, muad is going to be just like, tam is going to be just like muad, that's what it's saying. Since the first pasuk was about a short time, and then the second pasuk was about a short muad, it's saying what's true about a short muad, kamishpat hazeh, will also be true for the earlier one. Okay? That the short time is going to also have to pay full damages. So now, the braita continues with another issue. Yachom shalem min ha'aliyah. You might think, though, that he pays from, if we're going to say a short time is like a short mu'ad, then when he pays damages to damage he did to an adam, what do we usually say about a short time? He pays damages migufo. That if he's only worth 100 and he damaged 150, so he doesn't pay the full 150. But mina aliyah means that we just evaluate it by whatever the cost was, and it has nothing to do with the animal itself. So if we're going to make it like mu'ad, then we're going to say maybe it also pays from the aliyah. Tamud lamar ye aselo. So then they darshan these words ye aselo. What does that mean? Mi gufo mishalem be'eno mishalem min aliyah. So from those words ye aselo, it means specifically lo. It's still got its own unique laws that it's paid out mi gufo.
That would be the nafkamina.
That would be the difference between them, right? V'rabanan ze lamali. So then, what do rabbanan do with this ze? Right? Kimishpat hazeh sounds like right. This is going to be like the earlier one. So what's the they going to do with that? Lipotrome arba'a dvarim. Now they're going to say, this is to tell you that a shor that kills a person is not, that damages a person is not chayav all the four things that an adam has to pay if he damages. In other words, we're going to say that zeh, kimishpat hazeh, he has his own unique laws and he's different from an adam hamazik. Now we're going, not who the mazik, who gets damaged, it's who does the damage. So now we're going to say he's different from a person who damages because he doesn't have to pay the extra four things. He only pays damages. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn then this Torah? Because he needs Zed to teach his own drasha. The pasuk where we learn out, the nezik tzar rifo shevet boshet, all that, where do we learn it from? This ish ba'amito. And there it says ish specifically, only a person. So what about Rabbanan? Why don't they learn that? So Rabbanan ime ahi, if we just learned it from there, hava amina tsar lechude. This is very interesting. Havamina makes a lot of sense. You might have thought that if this Ishba Amito comes to teach you maybe specifically about tsar. Now what's tsar? That's anguish that you cause this person, pain. The pain that he suffered, right, which is similar to the boshet, the embarrassment. What's the similar about both those things? There's no actual monetary amount, right? It's more like the knas category, right, where we evaluate it based on what we think the person, whatever, how he's feeling, you know, what pain we caused him. But that's different from doctor's bills, which have a specific amount, and the amount he didn't go to work, which has a specific amount, and obviously the damages. So now what might you have thought? If a shor attacks a person, well, the person also had doctor's bills, and he also didn't go to work, so maybe the shor has to pay for those things. As opposed to, maybe we'll just say, ish comes to say, ish v'lo shor, when it comes to things like boshet and tsar, that are not measurable exactly, and are not tangible, maybe you would say. So, kamash malan, that no, the shor doesn't even have to pay for the doctor's bills or the loss of work. Okay, new Mishnah. Shor shavem mana, shenagach shor shavem matayim. Okay, so now we have amounts. Okay, middle of the sheet there, there's a chart. Okay, the mazik shor is worth 100. That's money. Shor shenagach, okay, and he was nogeach a shor shavem matayim. Ve'en a nevela yafek klum. And once he damages that shor, he damages him entirely. His nevela is not worth anything for whatever reason. Notel et hashor. So what does he do? It's perfect. He takes the shor, because the shor is worth, this is obviously a shor tam. The shor hamazik is worth exactly chatzi nezek. So he just takes the other person's shor. Okay. Matniti mani. Now they want to know, who is this Mishnah according to? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Akiva hi detanya yusham hashor bebetin. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva omer huchlat hashor. Okay, now we're going to learn that there's a machloka Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael. I believe we made reference to this or saw this before. The Rabbi Yishmael says, you don't necessarily get the exact shor. What do? You evaluate how much the shor is worth. And what does it mean, mishalem migufo? Migufo doesn't mean you give the actual animal to the person. It means, like we said before, that you don't go over that amount, right? If the animal's worth 100 and the damage was worth more, you don't go over that amount. But not only does it mean that, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that's what it means, migufo, but it doesn't mean you would give him the actual body. What do? You take the shor that damaged, you bring it to the Beit Din, the Beit Din evaluates, and then you pay him the value, which basically means, we'll see in a minute, that he's like a baal chov, basically. He owes money now. Okay? According to Rabbi Akiva, huchlat hashor, that means that this shor is designated. Now, once we say he's designated, we're going to get into all sorts of laws about what happens if somebody sells the shor. In other words, who does this shor belong to right now? So now they say this shor is designated according to Rabbi Akiva, and that matches exactly our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? He gives him the shor. So if the Mishnah says he gives him the shor, it must be that this shor is designated to damages, and that's how he views it. So now we're going to get into what the root of the machloket is. B'may kamiflige. Rabbi Yishmael savar balchov hu, v'suzehu demasikle. He's just a balchov, and he owes the guy money. It's just evaluated by how much his shor is worth, but this shor, the damage, has absolutely nothing to do with this transaction. The shor belongs to the original owner, and the owner of the shor now has to give that value. He owes the guy money now, a hundred something.
100 zoos.
100 zoos. Is it 100 zoos? That's what it says. Okay, so it's 100 zoos. Okay, so now, Rabbi Akiva savar shutfeininu. Okay? Rabbi Akiva says they're shutafim. They both equally own the shore. Okay? They both have equal rights to this animal. V'kamiflige b'hai kram. What are they really arguing about? The pasuk. You remember the pasuk by a short time? The shor tam, umachru et hashor chai v'chatzu et kaspo. They sell the shor that's still alive, meaning the shor of hamazik, and they split the money. So how did they explain this pasuk? Rabbi Shmuel savar lebedina kamaz hirachmana. They're telling the Beit Din, you have to sell the shor to the Beit Din. Split up the money. In other words, half the money goes, you have to figure out who's owed what, basically. But it's not that them together own the shore and go sell the shore. This is a very easy case where he gets the shore. But in any other case where, let's say, the shore doesn't match up, let's say the shore is worth 100 and the damage was only 50. So what do? So that's what you do. You go sell the shore and you split the money. But the question is, who splits the money? If you say, like Rabbi Ishmael, that really the shore is owned by the original owner, it's not owned at all by the other guy, then what does it mean? Who sells the shore? The Beit Din sells the shore and then tells the guy, you owe half that money to the Nizak. And you're just a Baal, right? You're a Baal Chov. You owe money. But Rabbi Akiva says, Safar, La Nizak Umazik Mazhir Lug Rahmana. The Pasuk is telling the Nizak and the Mazik go together because you now both equally own the shore. How are you going to split a shore? You can't split him down the middle. So what are you going to do? You're going to sell him and split the money between you because you now both have equal rights of ownership. And that exactly matches Rabbi Akiva, who exactly matches our Mishnah, who says, just give him the shore because he has rights to the shore. And since he's owed the entire amount in this particular case, give him the whole shore. My Benayu, what's going to be a relevant nafkamina between them? Hikdisho Nizak Ika Benayu. If the Nizak says, I'm makdish this shore, is there any validity to that statement? So according to Rabbi Ishmael, he has no rights to the animal, so it's an invalid statement. According to Rabbi Akiva, he has rights to his share. So he can be makdish, half that animal. If he says it's makdish, I'm makdish it, then it's hekdish. Okay, that would be a good nafkamina. Okay, Bami now Rava Mirav Nachman. Macharo mazik. What if the mazik sells it? Okay, the original owner sells the shore. Is it a good sale or is it not a good sale? Le Rabbi Ishmael mahu. Okay, according to Rabbi Ishmael, would this work? Now, why wouldn't it work? Let's see. Kevan de Amar Rabbi Ishmael bal chov hu bezuzehu de mazik le machor. Right, that would be obvious. According to him, what does he say? It belongs 100% to the original owner. So therefore, if he sells it, of course he can sell it. It's a good sale. O Dilma kevan de mishabed le lenizak lav kol kamine. Now, what does it mean it's mishabed le? We just said he just has to give him money. Now, while he needs to give him money, though, however, what can you say? In the event he doesn't give him money, well, he's going to have to give him this shore. So therefore, maybe there's some sort of shibud on this animal, and therefore he doesn't have rights to sell it. So what does he say? Amar Leh, interestingly enough, Eino Machor, it's not a good sale, because we hold that there's a shibud on it. Now we're going to question this, okay? V'ha Tanya, but don't we say Mecharo Machor, Choser V'gove, Mecharo Machor, don't we say, isn't there a braita that says, Dafke if the Mazik sells it, it is a good sale. So why are you answering me, right? You're going against a braita that says it is a good sale. Now why he asked him when he knew the answer, he knew there was a braita that says, good question, right? So what does he answer? Choser v'goveyu. Now the sale is a good sale, but let's say you're the one whose shore was damaged and the guy never pays you. You can go, now this is like we talked about property, which obviously we're going to question immediately because if you remember, we've talked about this, it only applies by property. So how can we talk about a shibud of an animal? There is no such thing, or maybe there is. Anyway, right now what we're going to say is this. The sale is a good sale, just like when you have property that's mishuabad. However, if I never get paid my money, I can go take that shore from the owner, okay, for us, from the new guy who bought it. I can take it from him. So now they say, but I don't understand. If I can go take it back, well, then for what is it sold? You know, he wants the animal to have the animal. So what do they answer? Liridya. It means that if that guy took the animal, plowed his field with it, and then I come and take it back, and I say, hey, that's mine. I was owed money, and I never got my money back. We don't say that I get to get payment for his having used my shore to have plowed it in the interim. In other words, the sale was valid for the fact that he plowed it in that time period. And whatever he gained that benefit. He doesn't have to pay anyone back for it. So I come take my shore. Yes, he got to use it for plowing, and he gained from that because he bought it. But I now get to take it back from him. So now we're going to question. Shma Mina, from here you can infer the what? Lovel mocher metaltalin. If you borrow money and then you sell metaltalin, movable items, beitin govin lo mehem, what? They can be mishuabad to a loan? How could that possibly be? We've always said it's only land that's mishuabad. So what do they answer? Shanei hatam dekeman de aseo apotiki dame. If you remember, we had this whole thing about if you designate something, apotiki means you've designated this item. I say, this item I'm going to pay you back with for the loan. And then what happens, right? So in this case, it's going to be I'm going to pay you this, what you're owed from this shore. And then I sell the shore. Well, if I made it an apotiki, then you're allowed to demand it back from the other guy. So now they're going to say, wait a minute, that also doesn't work, because Hamar Rava, doesn't Rava say, Asa avdo apotiki umecharo beitin govei menu. Shoro apotiki umecharo ein beitin govei menu. This law of apotiki only works for a slave, it doesn't work for an animal. Remember we had this whole hierarchy of, an animal is closer to an object, and it's not like a person, and therefore we're not going to allow from a shor. And why? Eved, my time, of what made the Eved unique? The Eved was made unique, if you remember. We'll read it in a minute, but not yet, because right now I just want to explain why there's a difference, Eved and Shor. Because in Eved, we assume there's a kol. Everybody knows. If I put my Eved as an apotiki, everyone's going to know. But if I do my Shor, not everyone's going to know. So now they're going to say, well, based on that, maybe we can apply that logic here. Why? Right. Remember what our question is. How could you have a case where the guy can demand the shor back? It's metaltalin, and we already said, even if you do a potiki, it doesn't work. Only by Eved it would work. So now they say, no. Eved, my time, mishum di le kala. Hainami kevan de nagach kala itle. De Torah naghana karule. If this shor is different, if I owe you money and I just say I'm going to give you my shor, and then I sell my shor, you can't take it back because there's no call about that kind of thing. This word doesn't get around. But if I owe you this shor because my shor attacked your shor, well, think about it, right? Everyone on the street's going to be talking, this guy's got a shor who's on the, right on the attack.
It'll devalue it also, by the way.
It'll devalue it. People will know about it. And therefore, that shor is known already that it's an apotiki because he damaged. So everyone knows he has a potential to pay back the loan. And therefore, we're going to say that in this case, specifically, a shor can be an apotiki like an eved because everyone will know about it. And therefore, you're allowed to demand it back. Okay. Now we're going to have more brayta, another brayta about this. Can you sell it or not? Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava Kamei Rabbi Abau. Rav Tachlifa, an Emora, comes up in front of Rabbi Abau and brings him a brayta that he knows about. Micharo ein machur, hikdisho mukdash. Now this is a very difficult one because what does it say? It says if you sell it, it's not a good sale, but if you do hekdesh, it works. So we're going to say basically either it matches one opinion or it matches the other opinion. How could we do this in between? So micharo man. First, the question is, who sold it, right? Are we talking about the Niza or the Mazik? So, Ilem a Mazik, okay? By the way, I charted this out, okay? You can look here. First, we're going to say it's Mecharo Mazik. We're going to say that's difficult. Then we're going to say it's Mecharo Niza. That's going to be difficult. And then we're going to answer it must be Mazik, okay? And we'll go back and explain it. So, if it's the Mazik, Mecharo Ein Machor would match whose opinion, right? If the Mazik sells it, well, according to Rabbi Akiva, right? It's not machor because Rabbi Akiva says that shor belongs to the other guy. As mani Rabbi Akiva, he damar huklat hashor, but he kedisho mugdash would have to go according to atan the Rabbi Yishmael, damar yushama shor bebeitin. Okay? In other words, why should your hektesh be a good hektesh if you don't totally own the shor? It shouldn't work. Okay? So now, that would have to match Rabbi Yishmael. So it doesn't make any sense if this brayta on the first line is Rabbi Akiva and the second line is Rabbi Yishmael. Ela nizak mecharo, eino machor. Let's say you said it's the nizak who sold it, and it's not machor. Who would that follow? Mani Rabbi Yishmael, right? That would fit with Rabbi Yishmael, who says, you don't owe him the shor, you owe him money. So therefore, the nizak has no rights to the shor, so if he sells it, it's obviously not machor. Hikdisho mukdash, but if it says you can be makdishit, so who's that going to go according to? Rabbi Akiva, it's on the Rabbi Akiva, who says that you have shutafut in it, and therefore, if you have shutafut, so you can be makdish. So that doesn't work either. So now what are the answer? La'olam mazik, udivrei akol. Okay, so now they're going to say it's mazik. Udivrei akol mecharo ein machor. Afilu l'Rabbi Yishmael, dehamishav delei l'nizak. Everyone's going to agree that if the mazik sells it, this we saw before, his sale is no good because even though he owes him money, he's just a balchov, but this shor was designated to pay back this chov. It's like the apotiki, right? And therefore, it is meshuabad. But hikdisho mukdash, Hikdisho Mukdash would really only match Rabbi Yishmael. If your Makdish would be Mukdash, right, the Mazik can only be Makdishit if you say that it's just a Chov and he doesn't have, that the Nizak doesn't have rights to this animal. But what do they say? Afilu the Rabbi Akiva, it works. Why? Mishum de Rabbi Avahu. De Am Rabbi Avahu, Gzera Shema Yomru, Hekdesh Yotze Below Pidyon. I believe we saw this before, but maybe not. It's this concept that we're worried that if you say this is hektesh, really, from the law, it doesn't have hektesh status. But what do we say? We're worried that people will see that you were Makdish it. They won't know that this is part owned by the Nizak also, that was Meshu'abad to Haman, that therefore you can't be Makdish it. And they'll say, oh, look, here's someone was Makdish something, and without being Podeh, he's using it. And they'll think that, oh, you can turn Hekdesh into Chulin without having to do Pidyon. And therefore, they make you, now here we're going to learn, when it says Hekdesh Mukdash, Hekdesho Mukdash, it means you have to be Podeh by something symbolic. It can be something very small, not for its actual amount, but because of this gzerah, we're going to make you do a pidyon on this. Okay? Because we don't want you to think, we don't want other people to think that you could do it without pidyon. Okay, we'll stop here for today and get as far as I hope, but tomorrow we'll try to pick up.